Hi there. We have a favor to ask. If you're enjoying the DLC Live podcast and you're listening on a platform that lets you leave a rating or a review, leave us a 5-star rating. Maybe take a minute to write a quick review. It really helps and we really appreciate it. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome to DLC Live, your source for educational and inspirational interviews with mental health experts and advocates from around the world. Now, here's your host, creator of the DLC Anxiety Worldwide Mental Health Community, Dean Stott.
Hey, we did it. I was worried then.
I had no anxiety about it at all.
Oh, fantastic. But let me just pop this down. So, Amy, thank you very much for taking your time out. Thank you for waiting as well, obviously, while we've got this sorted. Really appreciate everything that you're doing. If you can just give a little brief introduction about yourself, just your mental health journey, why you think mental health being a mental health advocate is important to you, and obviously your new amazing ventures that you've got going.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I mean, during the time where I had to have my technical difficulties, I mean, what an incredible community. What an incredible community you have going. I just feel really safe just being here. My mental health journey, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is my beloved daddy, who passed away about 4 years ago, was sober for about 35 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I really watched someone take his mental health seriously. And it's funny, he was probably about 50 when he got sober, which is right around where I am now. And he was always a beautiful man, but he became more aware and more conscious. And I have an amazing mother as well, although she's the first one to say, like, she's never done therapy. She really has not looked after her. Didn't need to either. You know, that was just her journey. But I think I was a really sensitive person. I have a 15-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter. I was just talking about anxiety with my son today. Super fun and ended up being my vocation, but it was a really safe space. It was when I first started feeling, what does it feel like when I'm with a group of people? What does my body do when I feel safe? And I kind of got to be able to recognize, like, oh, wow, I feel safe. My belly, I used to get tummy aches. You know, I was always an okay sleeper, but it's like, oh, when I'm in a certain safe place, my body feels differently. Mm-hmm. So that was it. That was a huge part. And also it was combined with what, you know, art and all that and self-expression, which I think was a big part of staying mentally well. And then it was right after I got out of college. I was a pretty good kid in college and did what I was supposed to do and, you know, different things along the way. But really right after college, I think this is probably true for a lot of young adults. Like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't even know what I liked to eat, you know, what I like. I mean, and so my godmother actually had told me years before about a 12-step program that might be right for me, Al-Anon, right? So I went in there and started kind of feeling who I was, really. And that journey allowed me to recognize when I'm upset, when I feel unsafe, when I, you know, I can't always act on all those things, but at least knowing what I feel I'm a recovering codependent, right? So even knowing where you stop and I start, then I can start taking care of myself.
So regarding anxiety, so you said, like, when you left college, would you say that you developed anxiety then, or have you always had it as a child?
I love the way it's funny. You know, and it might be just the age where I grew up or, you know, the age I am. It wasn't used in such a chronic way. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't have diagnosed myself as more like losing touch with myself and then kind of grabbing hold at sometimes not terribly unsafe things, but not great, you know, other people to make me feel better, to define me, to anchor me. So it's like finding that anchor in myself. Took quite a bit of time. You know, the other thing I would say is I have my daughter has a very rare neurological difference. She has this chromosomal abnormality. There's 1,400 people in the world that have it. Now, I think you know, it was a very simple, you know, it's a genetic test. But mm-hmm. as you know, they're getting more and more specific with what they can find out through genetic testing. I think there's going to be a lot of kids like her. I don't know how many, but it was like, oh, she has a learning difference. What could it be? What could it be? And there's a chrome, it's like a heart. We only found out like 4 years ago. So she really hadn't gotten the medical support that she needed, you know? And so we have a wonderful doctor, and I was never so against
how it. Old, how old would she have been when she found out then?
16. So we'd always had her like special ed, and we'd, you know, been, we didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't like we went down the wrong place, but having this information gave us even more, you know, information. And I was never against medication at all. I just didn't know that much about it. But that's, it's just incredible having a very thoughtful doctor, and that's, it can be a really healthy part of managing certain kinds of anxiety as well, which I feel like I'm getting to understand that through my daughter more.
That's fantastic. You said that you mentioned anxiety to your son today.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's such a private person, I feel like. But he was like, you know, because, you know, we're living through a pandemic. Like, he's he's such a good guy, and he works so hard. He's just an amazing spirit, you know. But he was like, wow, sometimes I can't take a deep breath, you know. And I was like, oh, well, that's your body, you know. I find, you know, partly because I'm a dancer as well, and I'm an athlete, I find a lot of times my body, I have an ego about, like, this shouldn't be a big deal, or, you know, other people aren't having a problem, but my body, I think for many other people too, will tell me the truth, you know? And so I feel like I began that conversation with him, like, how weird, I can't take a breath. I was like, right, well, that's anxiety, you know? And that's, your diaphragm will do a certain thing. You get into fight or flight, you know, there's something, you know, yes, we can talk about, you know, childhood issues, whether it's his or mine, and I think talking is absolutely part of it. And I also think just purely somatically, just even sometimes the brain is too busy. So just, I'm going to teach you how to time your breath, you know, to inflate. Yeah. Or he was, he actually had to get a COVID swab. Anyway, he's not sick, but we were at the doctor yesterday, and the doctor was listening to his breath, and he said, he said, take a deep breath. And my son literally went like, not breathing in a calm way. I was like, oh, dude, I got to teach you about diaphragmatic breathing. It's awesome. I was like, bloat your stomach. Your body's just going to love it. It's like nourishing. So,
and it's amazing how many people actually breathe incorrectly, isn't it? And don't, like you say, breathe through the diaphragm and know the benefits of correct breathing.
Right. Right. And it's like calming to the body, you know, it's like, I see you, I hear your anxiety. You know, I feel like a lot of, well, probably everybody that's listening right now and that you touch, you know, this last year, I think we've all had to dig deep. You know, I feel like every program slogan, every friend, every bit of therapy I have used, you know, and new stuff too. It's like, we've never lived through a pandemic. So why would we have tools? I have the tools about this, but I know.
And it's worth saying, if you're feeling anxious in these times, that is perfectly normal as well.
It's,
like you say,
it's inappropriate.
We haven't been, we haven't been through a pandemic, and just getting through these hard times, it's hard enough for everyone, isn't it? So, I know a lot of people tend to be hard on themselves, don't they? Especially when they start feeling these really uncomfortable feelings and can't put a label on it. On our platform, I find that it's a lot of the fear is from the unknown. So like you said, someone might have like hyperventilation or increased heart rate, and they're not knowing why that symptom is occurring. That's why I think psychoeducation is really important, to so people can understand, why you say, well, I might not be breathing correctly. So here's a breathing exercise that will help reduce anxiety and bring calm, or my heart's racing because that's the fight or flight symptom. And it's a perfectly normal bodily response to fear. It's just that it's like a false alarm.
Right. That's right. And it's almost getting a real relationship with oneself, you know, to say, oh, and trauma, obviously trauma is a huge part of this. Oh. So it's, you know, I've been watching the impeachment trial here today, and I find it really calming, actually. It's very upsetting to watch, you know, what happened on January 6th in our country. But it's also very important to say this happened, you know, just like if you were in an abusive relationship, it's like, it's not so bad. It's like, nope, somebody hit you. That's not right. You know, so actually, the more facts I have, and obviously we're breathing better here because we have different leadership. But the more facts I have, then my brain doesn't spin quite so much, even if the facts are difficult. You know, my mom is in hospice. We put her into hospice, and we had kind of like one other thing we might try medically, but it's not really appropriate. And she's 94 and a half, and she's safe, mm-hmm. and she's warm. And it's like a weird thing for me and my brothers, like, wow, okay. But then I got really, really grateful to her. It's like, well, we're going to be together. You know, there's no more racing around. And I think my brain, I'm so busy and I want to problem solve and I'm a good fixer. So at mm-hmm. first, when there's nothing to be done, it's very disorienting. But then I'm like, okay, well, there is something to be done. We should just be present to what is.
No, that's really good information as well. I've got a couple of questions there, Amy, before we tell everyone how they can see challenges, for one. I see a lot of comments as well from people saying that they listen to your podcast and they really enjoy it. So it must be amazing getting all the positive feedback from your podcast.
It's awesome. It's, you know, it's funny. We had a wonderful time. So the challengers, in a nutshell, and I'm sure this is such a great crossover with you. You know, I have sort of a different view of challenges, which I bet is in line with how you think about it. You know, rather than, I'm so sick of people going like, here's how I overcame my challenge and you can too. And so therefore it's like, oh my gosh, if I don't overcome a challenge, I'm a loser, right? And there's all this muscular effort. And I started thinking about, you know, people like my father and people like sober addicts and alcoholics, where guess what? You don't overcome alcoholism. You live side by side with it. And yet it humanizes you and you build community around it. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about, you know, these challenges that come to us and that are initially isolating. I talked to a dear friend who had a terrible cancer diagnosis. So it's isolated. It's like, oh, I wish that now it's my turn in the barrel. I wish it wasn't me. But then what happened, you know, and how it's like we get tattooed, you know, with the experience. But it also links us up to humanity in a different way.
No, yeah, I really like that. I really like that analogy as well. Like you say, and I can see the crossover straight away with the anxiety community, because a lot of people aren't at that stage of recovery, so they're having to deal with anxiety on a daily basis. And I really like that idea of what you're saying, that it's okay to be at that stage and it's okay to have a community around you at no matter what stage of recovery you're in, be it alcohol, be it anxiety, be it any other mental health illness. Like you said, it's not all about that final recovery stage, because
No final. And, you know, I talk I have these two special needs moms, friends of mine whose kids went to school. One of them is my daughter's age. And both of them, their children have pretty severe cerebral palsy, and it happened at birth. So there was no heads up about it. And so I think that the kind of, you know, again, the challenge, the muscular, I would say, you know, kind of patriarchal consumerist view of challenge is like, overcome it and then go back to the way you were. Well, if you have a child who has a big disability, A, you love that kiddo, and B, you never go back, you know? And I think it's just sort of a reframing, and then everybody gets to exhale and literally take down their hair and go, how is it for you? And it's just a different kind of, community. And, you know, I feel like a great example of that, honestly, is our new president. I feel like President Biden, the way he carries his wound, and actually the way it's become a source of strength, and especially during this time when we're all feeling wounded, we're all feeling really vulnerable, and he gets to speak directly. So it's not like, we're going to beat it. It's like, I know, isn't this hard? But guess what? We are in it together. It's just a different framing of what it is to be with one another and to lead.
So would you say that you've seen a sense of calm since the transition?
Yeah, I do. Yes. I mean, talk about anxiety. I mean, I know we are in a divided country right now, but, and that's okay. I like democracy. I like divergent points of view. I think that we can't underestimate the bullying and the abuse. You know, we're just a bunch of abused people, you know, whether you like President Trump or not. I think the feeling of, and, you know, compound, he didn't create the pandemic, but compounded with the pandemic, where it's like tweaking out about what the news would bring. Yes, it has been a big exhale for sure.
Well, that's wonderful. Just before you go, there is a few, well, I think 150 questions, so I won't get you to answer them all. I'll just pick out some random questions, and if you just give an answer, you know, from your perspective, so just any life perspective, anything that comes up, and I think it'll be really cool. Want me a second? Let's have a look. We'll start with a really easy one, tea or coffee? And also, we can link that to anxiety as well, because we have a lot of people saying that they avoid caffeine because it makes them nervous. It can mimic anxiety symptoms. So have you ever felt anxious with caffeine yourself personally? And out of the two, which one would you go towards?
I am a coffee drinker. I definitely like to have a tea to me is like, whatever. I do have to watch it. I had terrible ulcerative colitis about 10 years ago and I have my insides are sort of particular. So that's another part of my body that's pretty expressive. I would say I have to watch the coffee thing, although I do love it. I do love it.
Has it ever made you give you a feeling of on edge before or not?
For sure. I mean, you know what I would say is a little bit more, affects me a little bit more is alcohol, which I like. I mean, I do. I'm not sober. Hopefully I'm not an alcoholic, but I do notice, especially, you know, again, leading a lot of 2020 when in the fall of 2020, particularly here in this country, I would have like a glass or two of wine with my husband and it was fine. But then I noticed my body would sort of crash and then I'd say, oh, I feel depressed. It's like, do I, or is it my body just kind of having to gear itself back up? So I have noticed moderation. Because it's sort of a big climb back up to normal, if you will, you know.
Yeah. And what the link with alcohol, where you say low mood and anxiety as well, is obviously because of the dehydration side as well.
100%. Yeah.
So hydration. Yeah. Well, I'll pick two more questions.
I'm giving you a little serene view out my window, by the way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I know. So what advice did you give to your son today when you were speaking about anxiety? So if somebody came to you personally and said, I'm feeling anxious, how can I control it? What would be the first thing that would come into your head?
Don't kind of get rid of that word control, I think, and just have a lot of compassion for yourself. Just be with it. Know that you are not the anxiety, you know, there's a piece of you that is anxious. And then there's another piece, you know, that can say like, oh, sweetie, you know, you're feeling like if you have children, the inner child work that I did in my 20s and 30s has really remained with me sometimes to give myself the comfort I give somebody else. And I think for me, I mean, it gets so bad when I'm worried. One of the worst series of anxiety texts I had was after a miscarriage that I had, after our first, between our two kids. And it was really traumatic, you know, and I would just, the way it went down was really hard. And we really wanted a second kid. And I would wake up in the middle of the night around the same time, just in a full blown anxiety attack. And I had sort of one night of like, I'm gonna, or not even a night, I had a thought of like, oh, I don't want to wake up my husband. And I was like, nope, can't be alone with this. So I just woke him up and he was amazing. And that went on for a little while. So I think talk to somebody, you know, and that's why this community is amazing. And for most people, just getting it out of one's own cranium begins a process.
Yeah, that's what I always say as well. And I remember when I was going through a panic disorder, that just even if I was stood next to a friend, just the act of telling them that I felt anxious would reduce the anxiety. Because like you said, once it's in your head and it's ruminating and your negative thoughts are spiraling, that's where the anxiety can really increase. So even if you didn't have a friend or family member around, even just getting it out of your head and writing down how you're feeling.
Writing is a huge tool. Yeah, it's funny. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. Huge tool for me. In the same way that speaking out loud, I can look at it and go, oh, yeah, that is how I think. Looking at it on paper is huge. And also there's a fair amount of, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like, the meme talk comes in. Like, not only do I feel bad, but then, you know, suddenly it's like, what's the big deal? Or you're not handling it as well as other people. It's like, ah. And then as soon as you say it to a friend, they usually like, oh yeah, it's normal, or don't beat yourself up. You know, the beating yourself up is, I always think it's like salt in a wound. It's like, wow, I'm already feeling low, and then my ego comes along. Judges the crap out of how I'm responding.
That inner child work that you said you did in your 20s and 30s, was that anything specific, or was that something that you just did personally?
This would have been in like sometime in the 90s. And it was a woman that I can't remember her name. That was like a workbook. I didn't work with the person that wrote the book, but I was living in New York at the time. It was through like the Open Center, some like great place. And a lot of non-dominant writing and drawing, right? Which I found really amazing, actually, because, you know, my dominant hand is like, I'm a confident writer and stuff. And that non-dominant piece was really incredible. And it just opened, I mean, this was long before I became a mother, but it opened up that idea of taking care of my little girl, you know, that there is this little girl, Amy, is in there. And usually she's the one having the anxiety, but you know, I'm a grown woman and I can protect her, and as I protect my children. And so it opened up that way of working with myself that was very tangible and very immediate. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is traumatic, I got to go back into therapy. I mean, sometimes I do need to go back into therapy, but sometimes it's like, no, honey, you need to get in the bath. You need to keep it really simple. You know, you need to just take it. And again, lots of times just coming back to the body, what's going on with the body.
And you said as well, speak to yourself how you would a best friend, because we're our own critics, aren't we? And we would never, like you said, that inner critic that everyone has, especially when they're dealing with anxiety and depression, you'd never speak to your friend the way that you're speaking to yourself. So, just trying to change the narrative. Also knowing that thoughts are not facts as well. Even though we think something, it doesn't mean that it's any more real.
Right. That's huge. The feelings aren't, look, now I have no anxiety because I'm plugged in. Feelings aren't facts is a huge, huge for me. And then also these are kind of programmy slogans, but if it's hysterical, it's historical, you know, which doesn't mean, I love that, because it's not like, okay, I'm having a response that's inappropriate. It's just like, it may not be connected to what just happened. It may be going way back. So it's sort of honoring and, you know, easy does it, like just, cause I think, and you know, I'm sure from all your work, you know, that anxiety is so uncomfortable that it's like, let me just get out of it. Let me figure out how to get out of it. And, you know, there's no way out, but through, like, sometimes it's just like, it's okay. This feeling is not going to kill me. And even just knowing that is, really useful.
And yeah, but even when it comes, even it doesn't matter if you've dealt with anxiety for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, when you're feeling anxious, like you said, it really is an uncomfortable feeling that unfortunately we just have to sit with, because we know that it gets to a peak and then, like it has done in the past, like it will in the future, it'll start to reduce. So sitting with it and accepting it, and because obviously if we try and reject it and try and say, how can I stop myself overthinking, what we're doing there is we're shining a big spotlight on it, and then that's right. creating more of a threat response.
Well, and I think also what's interesting is getting back to the theme of my podcast and why it's so fascinating to me is really, for me, getting out of this thinking like, I'm done with that, right? I'm done with depression, or I'm done with it, like as if things are linear. And then when it comes along, it's like, oh, shit, you know, like, rather than like, no, we live along. Sometimes things are dormant and sometimes they come up, and, you know, it's not a problem in and of itself. I mean, if something starts dominating your life and you take steps, but sometimes even the glimpsing of a negative way of thinking, or something I think I'm done with, actually, it's like, it's back, like Voldemort, you know, it's like, well, just Voldemort's always around, you know, but yay for us for having it not dominate our lives all the time, you know, but just it's like, it's okay. It's part of me and I work with it. And, cause then it's like, I don't get a big story about like, I thought I was done. Now yeah. It's back, you know?
No, that's wonderful. Amy, if my thought was, for some reason, if they don't follow you, where can they find you on social media? When is the podcast? Is it every day? Is it a certain day in the week? How can
the
podcast,
the podcast is called The Challengers with Amy Brenneman. It's anywhere you listen to podcasts. My socials, I think it's just Amy Brenneman. Yeah, I know my Instagram is Amy Brenneman. There's also a Challengers Facebook group, which is a little bit like this. And we'd like to do actually even more things like this. So it's not just the written word. It's a little bit more present. And the challenge, so we had, I really love, I love editing these podcasts. I kind of like, I love Krista Tippett on Being. I love those. So we have 6 in season 1. We're unrolling season 2 right now. But okay. Then last spring, I did a little bit more like this, actually, just because it was such a stressy, odd time. I did sort of more casual meetups with some mental health people, a woman that worked in the Department of Homeland Security. I thought we needed some information. So there's actually, if you go to the Challengers, there's a whole bunch of yummy stuff. There's kind of the more crafted ones and then the more loose ones.
That's wonderful. And regarding any upcoming projects, is there anything that you're working on?
I'm sort of in the middle of shooting a series called The Old Man with Jeff Bridges. It's going to be on Hulu. That's pretty cool. And then something I shot, actually, we wrapped it probably about 2 years ago, called Tell Me Your Secrets. That's coming out on Amazon on February 19th, which is awesome. It's a thriller. But
is it a film or series?
It's a series. It's a 10-episode thrill. It's the woman who, Bruna, who just produced The Undoing and Big Little Lies. And she's sort of, and we have a wonderful writer. It's a thriller. I mean, it's a mystery, all that kind of stuff. But it's so psychologically sound, I would say. Like, it's crazy things happen, but people are doing the best they can. It's actually kind of from your interest in me, you should watch it, because it's like, oh, here's what happens when people get isolated and try to do the best they can. And it's pretty crazy, but it's great. And it just sort of got stuck in the pipeline for a while. So we couldn't be more happy. It's going to be on Amazon.
When's that due on Amazon?
February 19th.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. So I will definitely put it in my planner, and I will DM you and let you know what I think, Amy.
I love it. Please do. I love being part of this community too.
I appreciate you taking the time out. Thank you very much. I can see you've had so much love in the comments as well. So it's wonderful to see how everyone's tuning in to your podcast and everything that you're doing and supporting you. So that's lovely to see from the outside as well. So I guess that brings a lot of warmth to your heart as well.
Yes, that's why we do it, right?
Exactly. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, Amy.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to DLC Live. Be sure to follow Dean on Instagram at DLC Anxiety. Check our website at dlcanxiety.com and grab yourself a copy of our latest book, Untangle Your Anxiety, on Amazon today. See you next time.